Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Someone might be engaged. We'll talk about who next on the Score.
Congrats, how Lions.
Congratulations.
Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson, and Bill has apparently changed the name of his boat.
The way I look at it, what's in a name?
Have you got a shorter name?
I'd often change the registration of a ship or a plane, but never at such short notice.
Did you know that, Speegs, that now there's been a change into what's going on with his private aquatic vehicle?
Yeah, it's a really sad situation.
Taking us to Goss, put in the marina next door. Look at this baby, I caught right up the point here.
And what's the new name of the boat there, Lawrence?
OnePlus 8 Rings.
Oh boy. Who would be the one in this particular?
That's a terrible name.
Bill Belichick is old enough to be both of our dads, technically.
For sure.
And I think a lot of men of a certain age would kind of go, ooh, don't want that to happen to my dad.
No.
Don't want that to happen to my mom.
Or my grandfather.
Right.
Yeah. But grandpa might be like, yes, I would like this to happen
to
me.
Yeah, I very much like for this to happen and keep happening.
Grandpa's cool with that. I'll rename a boat. What the hell? It's my last decade. Shut up. I'll do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, someone get some paint and change that name on that damn boat. It's going to be hers anyway.
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may. Totally get your foot out the boat.
So the boat name is being looked at as confirmation of the report that they are engaged in some circles. She apparently told at least one person that they are engaged, and now she's got her name on the boat.
Hey, you ever think about naming this whole boat? It's bad luck to have a boat without a name.
I'd never named a boat before. But there was only one I could think of. The most beautiful name in the wide world.
Lawrence Taylor.
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We've got you until Cubs baseball tonight. They are taking on the Cincinnati Reds. We will have pregame starting at 5:05, but we have got you until then. Tyler Buterbaugh is handling everything as far as putting the show together. Obviously, Chris Tannehill is taking care of the sound. That man in the Score Studios is Matt Spiegel.
Hello, and that man, Lawrence Holmes, is down at Northern Illinois University, or up at Northern Illinois University, as the case may be.
It's fun here.
Good.
I've just been chilling.
Good.
Just been hanging out, and again, huge thank you to everyone here. Sean Frazier, the athletic director, rolled out the red carpet for me, gave me a room, set everything up, told me if I had any problems, he's right around the corner, but I was like, I want everyone to just leave because it's Memorial Day weekend and I feel like I'm holding everyone up.
Goodbye, like, no, Toledo! Again!
Again!
Just again and again and again. I got to tell you, I went onto this website as I was looking at NIU alumni there during transition. Anybody like to guess what website I hopped on there? CM Punk knows. I'm over there on the wiki checking out NIU alumni, and I got down to the baseball section, and Ned Colletti, props to Ned Colletti, hell of a career in the front offices all around baseball. Fritz Peterson stopped me dead in my tracks, and then I was lost in an internet wormhole during the break on Fritz Peterson. Anybody? Anybody got that one? Fritz Peterson was a Yankees pitcher, and in 1973, he and Mike Kekich arranged for a trade of their entire families. They traded wives, houses, and dogs, and one of them remained married to his new wife for like 40 more years.
What the hell?
I know. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were going to make a movie about it, but then they got too old, and so they didn't do it. But congratulations to NIU. I had no idea they were the proud former home of Fritz Peterson. So there you go. Congrats,
there a
everybody.
Barry Rosner connection too.
There is. And Rosner never traded his wife, as far as I know, in any way, shape, or form. He didn't trade.
Good. The I'm lovely happy about Amy. That. But, yes. But yeah, I'm thankful that they were able to set this up, and so that I didn't want to break the vibe. I felt like we were in a good space right now as
Agreed.
A show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't want to take the day off if I don't have to, and I don't have to.
There you go. It's a beautiful thing. And Lawrence, we got the Reds and the Cubs beginning tonight. A lot of people thought the Reds were going to be, you know, one of the teams truly battling for this division. And they're 5.5 games back right now, tied with the Brewers. The Cardinals are 3 games back of the Cubs, who at 10 games over 500 are the best team in the division and the 3rd best team in the National League. And these Reds are not really looking very good. They have Hunter Green back today, and Nick Lodolo will pitch on Sunday, no matter what that caller thought yesterday. He was just dead wrong about those two things. But
I think that he was looking forward to the Cubs having the advantage, and you know, you don't have to deal with their 2 best pitchers, and that's what's up.
Yeah.
And you go and you sweep Cincinnati.
But this Reds offense has been really bad. They've got 1 run or less in 14 different games. Like, they just very often cannot score a lick. And we haven't really seen much effect of Terry Francona. That's the headliner of this team. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz is the electric star. But this year, a lot of people thought the Reds were going to jump up because of Terry Francona.
I kept thinking that, too, that it was interesting because I felt like so many things had gone wrong health-wise for Tito that I thought that considering everything that he's accomplished, there's really not more for him to accomplish as a manager. And it was an interesting choice for him to take over Cincinnati considering the job that he had done in Cleveland and how that still continues to be an organization that is relevant. So maybe it is like the next mountain, the idea of, well, I feel better. I everything's all of my stuff is clear. I can go out there and rebuild a franchise that is desperate for the type of baseball smarts and tough love and all of the strategic things that come along with him being your manager.
Yes, and the Reds supposedly with a young core of position players especially poised to break through. But kind of like the Orioles, they haven't done the spending or the star acquisition here at what might be the right time to sort of complete the task and maximize the window, you know? But I mean, I love Terry Francona. I've said he's my favorite living manager, you know?
Oh, okay, you've said that, but you haven't said why. So why is he your favorite living manager?
He's got the right mix of aggressive communication, a hard edge when he needs it, a perfect, ridiculous sense of humor when he needs it, and true humility. He sucked as a player. And he knows he sucked as a player, and he's totally comfortable with that and uses that as part of the way that he relates to his players. There's a great moment in the Red Sox documentary. I forget what it's called again, but it's the 04 Red Sox documentary that was just out on Netflix. It was really, really good. But we're like, David Ortiz is struggling like crazy, and he's taking BP, and Francona is apparently watching him, and Ortiz has been in a terrible slump, and he feels Francona watching him take BP as he's scuffling and slumping. He turns around, he says to Terry, "You got an idea? You got an idea? You say something to me. You say something. And Francona like turns around and he's like, you're talking to me? Big dog, I hit 210 in the majors. I don't know what the hell's going on. You'll figure it out. You got this. And Ortiz laughed and just picked it up and immediately went on a hot string right there. So
Speaks, I got a little breaking news.
Okay.
That you're definitely going to find interesting.
Okay.
The White Sox have made 4 roster moves. Would you like to hear them?
Is Tim Elko going back to the minors?
He's not the only one. Andrew Benintendi and Mike Tauchman are back from their rehab assignments.
Okay.
Tim Elko and Andrew Vaughn.
Wow.
Have been optioned to Charlotte.
Wow.
Whoa!
That's fascinating. That's fascinating because I knew that Tim Elko was going to go down here for Benintendi and Tauchman. I didn't really know who the other move might have been, but because Andrew Vaughn right now is having an absolutely horrific year and does not deserve to stay in the bigs if Tim Elko is going to go down. And there was a lot
hitting 189 with 8 doubles, 5 home runs, 19 RBIs in 48 games played. Elko had the awesome home run that first weekend, 3 total homers for him, but hitting 161.
Man. Yeah, I mean, Elko, I think, had 3 homers in 32 plate appearances in this particular stint. Andrew Vaughn, would you like to guess how many players have a worse wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs, than Andrew Vaughn?
How many qualify?
I can look at, but he, of all qualified players, of anybody who has played,
I would say that there's less than 10 players that have a worse, that are worse than Andrew Vaughn.
The number is 0. He is the worst player in Major League Baseball, who has played as much as a qualified player. A negative 1.3 wins above replacement on Fangraphs. At a position that doesn't get valued, he's been bad. And offensively, you just gave some of the numbers, a 540 OPS in 48 games. So, wow, they sent Andrew Vaughn still had options.
Yeah, because he's just been here the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So he has options, but he's just been here the entire time.
Man, that is very. You know what? I like it. I like that they're not just going to let that guy hang around and be rewarded by continuing to get a chance to play. I know this may torpedo his value, but I don't think his value has been anything anyway. The value has not existed. This is a better message to send to teammates and to the organization and certainly to the fans that we're not just going to let you play if you're not producing and not getting anything done.
Okay, well, let me ask you about this because I agree with you that there's no reason to continue to give Andrew Vaughn at-bats, but ideally it was don't give him at-bats so that you can give Tim Elko the at-bats. I don't know if I like Tim Elko being sent down for Mike Tauchman.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Of
like,
course.
It's not like if they were a better team, a more competitive team, then absolutely. I'm for it. And Tauchman's healthy, so I mean, he's got a space on your roster. I just feel like, isn't this the season where you let guys work through stuff if you think that Tim Elko is going to be a major league player?
Yeah, I would like to hear them talk. I'd like to hear Chris Getz talk about what Tim Elko needs to work on.
I would imagine we will, right?
Better.
We should in a couple of hours hear from Chris Getz.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's pretty fascinating. Like, I mean, Elko is home run or bust these days, and that's what he was in the minors, and most of it was home runs. And it's been 3 homers and 32 plate appearances, as I said, but the rest of it pretty much bust. I don't think he's got anything else to prove in terms of that profile at AAA. But if they want him to try and learn something else, I'll be interested in what they say. I think that Tim Elko here would make more sense. But you knew Tauchman was going to be here and play. You knew Benintendi was going to be here and play. I wonder who's going to play the bulk of first base now without those guys here. My goodness, that's
yeah.
Interesting. I mean,
yeah.
Is Corey Lee coming back soon? Like, that way they can get at-bats for him and still have Caro behind the plate there.
Yeah, Corey Lee, Kyle Teal for a promotion, so you can have this big pile of catchers and teach some of those guys to play first base.
It's extremely hard.
Yeah, well, You know, that's quite something. I mean, I know Miguel Vargas can play over there, but he's been playing really good at third base.
Yeah, you probably leave Miguel Vargas where he is because it's not like you have another legitimate option over there that you're just super excited about. This is significant because for a guy who has been on the major league roster since, 21? Like, for him to then go back to the minors because he is just scuffling. Who was that guy that you met on Twitter or whatever that had the things to say about Andrew Vaughn?
Tyler Osick. Osick, the former White Sox farmhand who tweeted about Andrew Vaughn's off-season work habits and how insulting they were to other White Sox farmhands who were busting their butt and trying to get to the big leagues.
And so now Andrew Vaughn is at a career crossroads, and it's really scary when you start to look at the guys who were important, and I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me on Twitch, to the White Sox over the last 5 years, to look where all of them are now. To look at Tim Anderson still struggling, even though now he's with Ron Washington. Moncada's doing all right, but where's Eloy? Robert is a disaster. Vaughn is now being sent back to the minors 4 years.
That's amazing.
Into a major league career.
4 years plus 193 plate appearances. I mean, that is deep into a big league career for them to send you down. And think about it. I mean, it was kind of a surprise to think about him as a guy who still had options and still could be sent down. So that's fascinating. We'll be tracking along to see if Chris Getz talks about it this afternoon. Tim Elko's sent to the minors, but Andrew Vaughn sent as well. There's going to be a lot of happy White Sox fans. You're going to have a fan base that at least they'll be upset about the Elko part on some level for sure, but they'll be pleased to see Andrew Vaughn at least held accountable and for them not have to watch that guy play anymore at this point.
The accountability aspect of it, Speaks, I think, is strong. I do question the baseball part of it with Elko, but I'm open to hearing what Chris Getz has to say about that.
So Craig Counsell, the highest paid manager in baseball for the Chicago Cubs, against Terry Francona, the manager who is perhaps most respected in all of baseball. And that is part of the backdrop of Cubs Reds. We should talk to a guy who played for Tito and a dude who was at opening day with the Cincinnati Reds in full uniform, but doing something very, very different than you might expect. We should talk to Bronson Arroyo next. All right, Lauren.
We should. Bronson Arroyo is going to join our show. He's a fascinating individual. You don't want to miss that interview. It's next on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Now it's time to meet the 2006 All-Star.
We've got a guest who's going to join us on guitar, acoustic guitar.
Bronson Arroyo gets the win. He goes the distance.
He called this place his home for quite a while, and one of those rings we were talking about before, he's a proud owner of.
Alex Rodriguez swipe at the left arm of Bronson Arroyo.
Runners go. Red Sox force game 7. A tremendous pitching performance by Schilling. Arroyo and Keith Bolt.
He used to stand on that mound right there, and he's still standing on the mound in a different city, but part of his rehab is playing guitar.
1-1 pitch, he swings and drills one back into deep left field. Did he get it all? He did. Home run. Bronson Arroyo just lit up John Eli with a line drive home run into the seats and left.
He hasn't been back here for a while, so it's a real pleasure and privilege and honor to have him join us back in his home.
And there is a strikeout for Bronson Arroyo. That is strikeout number 1,500 for his career.
Please welcome on the acoustic guitar to play this next one with us.
From the Cincinnati Reds, pitcher Bronson Arroyo.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
Exciting for us to get the opportunity to talk with Bronson Arroyo. He joins us now on the Circa Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. The Cubs and the Reds are going to play tonight in Cincinnati. Speaks told me the story, Bronson. I didn't know this, that you were in full uniform on opening day on a flatbed doing your thing.
Yeah, it was. First of all, kudos to that whoever put that together, man. That was really cool. I mean, it's not every day that one of your childhood heroes gets to talk about you like that on stage. And that was Eddie Vedder there from Pearl Jam in Fenway Park. But, you know, on opening day this year, the parade for the Cincinnati Reds is, it's a big deal, right? And I've done it a few times and they asked me to do it again. And I thought, you know, I'm tired of waving at people and not feeling like you can actually impact them in any way, right? You can't shake their hand. You can't say hi to them. So I just thought, hey, if we put the band on the back of a flatbed truck, it's about an hour. We're moving nice and slow as it is. We might as well just touch the people with the music and give them something to hear as all these different floats are going by most of the time with not a lot of music. So it was just a ball. And I figured if I was going to put on a uniform again, hey, what better time to do it? So at least people would not, you know, they would know exactly who I was by seeing the uniform, because some people might not know you after 8 years of retirement, you know, regardless of how long you played in a certain city.
Bronson Arroyo is a badass singer, and I've seen him many times, sung with him a couple of times. And Lawrence, you're right, that image of him in full uniform on the flatbed on opening day with the parade. I mean, how many pitchers could even conceive of doing that kind of thing in retirement? Like, that list is small. And then how many would want to do it? Like, you got to be one of one in that category of people who have rocked out on a flatbed in the city of a team they pitched for, right?
Yeah, I mean, even just the fact that how many dudes can still fit in their uniform, you know? I actually had to have that one specifically made smaller for me because I'm about 15 to 20 pounds lighter now than what I used to pitch at. And so I had to make that uniform for me to pitch against the Savannah Bananas a couple of years ago. And so that's what I was actually wearing. But, you know, it's nice sometimes to just go out in the city and do something unexpected, right? I played here for 9 seasons. I'm in the Reds Hall of Fame as of 2023. And you just don't get to see guys like that out in the public doing things. And every once in a while, you know, I've always been, you know, when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, once in a blue moon, you know, I'd show up to school with a mohawk and Ozzie Smith's name carved in the side of my head, right? And it's like, I'm pretty easygoing guy, but I've got a little itch underneath me for a little bit of craziness once in a while, and it's just fun to get out and do some things.
All right, so hold on. Now we're picturing young Bronson. I read this today. Is it true you were teammates with A.J. Pierzynski when you guys were both 13 in the state of Florida? What was 13-year-old A.J. like, if that's true?
You know, I played against AJ. I moved from the Keys to Brooksville, Florida when I was 10. AJ happened to be, we had 12 teams in that league at the time for the 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. It was a lot of kids playing ball. This was obviously pre-travel ball. And so AJ was on another team kind of in the National Division, and we were in the American Division. and we rivaled each other and wind up beating them in the finals one year, I think when we were both 12. So we played against each other, 10, 11, and 12. And then at 13, we moved up to the Pony Field, a little bit bigger, 54 feet. And yeah, he was my catcher. And we were on the same team, won a championship that year and played All-Stars. And then the next year, I think it was 2 years later, he was a freshman in high school and I was still in eighth grade. And his mom moved to Orlando. So that's how he gets over to Dr. Phillips High School, where he finishes high school with where Johnny Damon went to school. But people don't know that we were teammates from way back in the day. And childhood, AJ is exactly the way he's always been. You know, AJ's, if he's on your team, you love him. He plays hard. He's a hell of a baseball player. He's tough. He plays hurt. And if you're on the other side, you hate him because he never shuts up behind the plate and talking trash to you.
I love the Ozzie Guillen quote that takes that and goes a little bit farther, Brunson. He said, if AJ is on the other team, you hate him. And if he's on your team, you hate him a little bit less.
That's probably true. You know, AJ is an only child, and AJ, he likes to stir the pot. I like to describe him in a way as if you're playing basketball against him and he's beating you. He's rubbing it in hardcore. And if you're beating him, he's telling you that you're cheating.
That is, and we love AJ. AJ is one of my favorites, and he visits the show occasionally. He's so good at what he does, both as a player and now as an analyst. For you, a guy that had so many different interests, how did you handle maybe not being what the stereotype was of a baseball player?
You know, it was tough in the early years. It's weird how kind of the arc of your career can go. And it depends on how established you are. It's kind of like how much respect you get from people and how they can highlight the good or the bad things in you. And so when I was with the Pirates in the early days, if I put my hair in cornrows, you know, or I was playing the guitar, you know, guys like Lloyd McClendon were calling me into the office and cussing me out and telling me, you know, why do you have your hair in cornrows? And in my mind, I was thinking, why does Pokey Reese have his hair in cornrows? For the same reason, right? And you know, I'd play the guitar and they just assumed I was a guy who was out drinking a lot and I just wasn't taking care of myself and I was too happy-go-lucky and I wasn't serious about the game. But then you kind of, you know, just fast forward a decade and I'm playing for the Red Sox in a Reds uniform and now it's he's cool, calm, and collected and he's unflappable, right? He checks his ego at the door, right? When he walks out after a game, you can't tell if he got his butt kicked or if he threw a no-hitter because he's even-keeled, right? All these things that they would then attribute to me as something good in the early days, they took it as a negative. So it was tough in the early days, to be honest. Sometimes you get called to the big leagues and they didn't quite understand who you were and you felt frustrated by it.
Wow, that's interesting. And then when you're in Boston with a bunch of weird personalities and interesting personalities and lots of wins, but some trials as well, how does a guy like Terry Francona deal with you as a person and some of the personalities that you guys all had there?
You know, Terry was coming off of being booed out of Philly, right? And he was a little unsure, I think, of, you know, where that train was going to go because he knew he was stepping into a place that was going to be playing in a volatile situation, trying to beat the Yankees for a world championship. And so I think he came in just kind of with his eyes wide open and just kind of like, I'm going to ride this train and see what happens here. Luckily enough for him that ball club didn't need a lot of direction, right? We had almost an all-star team from top to bottom. I mean, when you have guys like Bill Miller winning the batting title, hitting the 7-hole, Jason Veritek sometimes hitting in the 6 or the 8-hole. I mean, it was a really, really kind of like a groans man team. And these guys really knew how to play the game, so he didn't have to steer the ship so much. But what he brought to the table that was so valuable was that easygoing personality, knowing when to kind of step in and be serious about the game and also knowing when he could feel like another player just walk around the locker room and kind of be hamming it up with a guy like Kevin Millar and not take it too seriously. And I think, you know, just the overall mood of what Tito brings to a full season, knowing that it's a you know, it's not a sprint and that it's a marathon, and giving guys the leeway to kind of play through the ups and downs of a season is where I think his magic comes.
When you saw him on opening day in uniform, I'm not sure if you thought about trying to pitch, but like, were you surprised that he took that job? And what do you think about the job that he's done at this point?
Yeah, I was surprised that he took the gig. You know, he had told me that he's retired. You know, we talk once in a blue moon, and I thought he was kind of winding that down. I thought he was going to play a lot of golf in Tucson and shut it down. But, you know, it hit everybody out of left field. First thing in the offseason, the Reds make this great announcement. I thought it was the best move the Reds could have possibly made because in the average public here in town, everyone's always talking about player moves and, oh, they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And Terry was kind of the only real move I think they could have made where it kind of quieted down the whole offseason, where nobody was complaining about player moves or anything going on in the organization. And let's just play the season and find out what happens. And, you know, so far it's been a little up and down. They haven't really caught, you know, they caught a couple of streaks here. The pitching has been really solid, which is exactly what I thought they needed for probably the last decade, to be honest, to get over the hump. And the bats have been relatively quiet, which is a little unusual. But I will take good starting pitching and kind of like lackluster lineup in the beginning of a season, you know, over the opposite. And so I think these guys still have a chance to be competitive in the division.
Okay, so if they are going to be competitive, how do you think they get to that place now that we're at about the 50-game mark?
Yeah, I think Steer and I think Matt McClain have got to get to who they were in the past, which was a really tough out, putting the ball in play and looking like, you know, when guys hit 275, but – you know, there's some guys that hit 275 and strike out a lot, and there's some guys that hit 275 and put the ball in play and give you a good at-bat against the best pitchers in the game. And it might look the same on paper, but it's not the same going against those guys. And I don't know what has happened with Steer and McClain, but thus far they haven't looked like themselves from about a year and a half ago. I think those two guys could solidify this offense and really close in some of the gaps, because a guy like Ellie's going to swing and miss, right? I mean, it's just who he is. It's built into the machine. He's not going to, you know, hit you 320, but I think those two guys could really like fill some of those gaps, and maybe a couple of people like Encarnacion coming off the, you know, the disabled list, hopefully at some point, and do that. But if they don't turn the corner here, you know, in the next like 45 days, it might be tough.
Talking to Bronson Arroyo here on Spiegel and Holmes, 148 wins in 419 games, 383 starts. The fastball, at your peak, at your best years, fastball was what, 89? I mean, 90? I wonder if you would have gotten the shot. Like, these days, would you have stood a chance and gotten the shot that you got and gotten the extended time to show you could do what you did with manipulating the curveball with the different arm slots and the different looks and everything? Would you have even gotten a chance to show the artistry?
I think I would have, but it probably would have been a 10% more uphill grind to get there. You know, it's just people have always valued velocity for some weird reason. It's not just this generation, but it's obviously getting a little worse when you're talking about, we can see spin rates on a computer, and also that everybody's throwing, you know, 3-4 mile an hour harder than they did in the 90s. So I still think I get there for the mere fact that, you know, pitching in the minor leagues, I was 40 games over 500. And if a guy's continuing to put up 10, 11, 12 wins and throw you 150, 160 innings in the minor leagues year after year after year, I think you get that opportunity no matter what. But, you know, I mean, I was in 2003, I was in Pawtucket. I already had about 2 years of big league service time, and I'm in AAA with the Red Sox. And if I have a bad season that year, I'm probably stamped a minor league player for the rest of my career. And then, you know, I get called to the big leagues and I pitch in the playoffs in 03 and then never go back to the minor leagues. And sometimes that felt like, you know, a flip of a coin or maybe a little bit of fate. And you just never really know. And for guys like myself who are just crafty, and you need, you know, more than maybe just a couple of starts to really prove yourself, it's disappointing sometimes to see where the game is going, because they're pulling guys out after five innings constantly, and as all they want to see is 95 to 100 with a nasty slider. And sometimes I think that takes the beauty of the art of pitching out.
So from your perspective, because I imagine that whether it's young pitchers or parents of pitchers, they ask you, how should their son go about trying to do what you did and make it to the major leagues? What advice do you give, if any?
Yeah, you know, usually if I'm talking about somebody who's serious about pitching, two things that I think make a guy, you know, able to get outs consistently. It's having command, but also having consistent shape on your pitches. So I want a guy who can throw the ball relatively in an area, but I also need his sinker to have the same angle most of the time. I need his breaking ball. If it's going to be, you know, 12 to 7 or 11 to 7 or 12 to 6, whatever the shape is on it, I want him to know what that shape is. And I describe it in a way that if you are playing paintball and I had a paintball gun that curved to the right all the time, it would be fine if it always did that, because you could just, you know, set up to the left, play for the curve and still, you know, kill some people. But if I have a gun that goes right most of the time and shoots left once in a blue moon, you're dead in the water, right? And so I need guys who throw sinkers to be able to have that same sink and not have the ball cut once in a blue moon. And so I really try to emphasize that, because people, you don't hear people talk about that a whole lot. You hear them talk about location, but you don't hear about consistency and shape of pitch.
The Bronson Arroyo band is full of legit players, including Bronson himself. And I think you can tell people the truth now about the quality of Theo Epstein on guitar. Like, with the, it's time to let that one fly. You know, go ahead and rate Theo on the 20 to 80 scouting scale on guitar.
Well, you know, I'm partly biased, because no matter where I am, I've been playing for 25 years and I play every day, and I still consider myself a trash guitar player, right? I'm a rhythm guitar player. But Theo doesn't pick up the guitar that much, especially by himself. He doesn't sit and, you know, make music by himself. You know, he's either playing behind a band and kind of hiding behind it. But Theo's a rhythm guitar player, very average. He'll tell you that himself, you know, nothing special about it. If he dug into it, I'm sure he could play lead and get better at it. But, you know, he's like me. He's kind of a novice guitar player. And you know, those real, you know, being a great player, man, especially playing lead and not just rhythm, it takes a lot of focus and a lot of time, and I just don't think he wants to put in that type of work.
You still out there singing and playing a lot, huh? Every day you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at least in the basement every day playing with it. Yeah, I've been writing a lot. I've written 41 original songs in the last year with a kid named Joe Jordan, who's on Atlantic Records, and some of those songs have been, that I'm writing with him, have been put out. I put 8 of those songs out on a record called Life Lessons. I got another 8 coming out any day now as soon as it's mixed and mastered, and I'm going to do one more. And these are all kind of folky songs, but I'm working, as I'm writing them, you know, it takes a while to sit and kind of get them into your bones and feel like you could present them to somebody. And I'm trying something new where I write the song, and then I get them in my bones and play them for people in their living rooms. And then after I feel like I have it owned, then I go and record it. And it's allowed me to kind of sing some different melodies or find something new in the song as you're kind of crafting it and getting it into your system and learning it over time.
Bronson, this was an absolute treat. Thank you so much for jumping on with us, and we'd love to talk to you again soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Bronson. Good to see you, man. Thank you.
It's Bronson Arroyo, man. He is dope, and he's always been dope. And so the fact that he had a few minutes for us was really, really cool. We have to take a time out. When we come back, let's get into some film on Caleb Williams. Greg Cosell, you talk about a ball knower. He's one of them. We'll talk with him next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.